At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back live with a Score Midday Show at Sluggers in Wrigleyville on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Sluggers in Wrigleyville. It is a packed house. If you are trying to get in, you might want to take some time. It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. And we bring in our next guest. You would usually be on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, but luckily for us, the hotline's right here. Ron Coomer, Cubs radio analyst, getting all the applause that he should be, joining us here on the Midday Show on The Score.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're not the ones who had to spend a short half of a week in Sacramento. How are you doing back here in civilization?
We're good. I've been in between Arizona and Sacramento. I've been gone for almost 2 months, and it was nice to be back home and settling into Chicago again, that's for sure.
Ron, the Cubs were part of four opening days.
Yes,
that's a lot of opening days. How do you absorb it and observe it the way you have this season?
I think, you know, the opening day for us, you know, we weren't a part of the opening day in Japan. We were here at Wrigley broadcasting. So, you know, it's, you know, you hear Pat, Chicago Cubs are on the air, and then off we go. Arizona really felt like opening day for the broadcast team. We were all in Arizona at, you know, Chase Field. Sacramento, sure. We'll go with that, you know.
It's a ballpark.
It has baseball.
It's got dimensions.
Yes. And we're back home to Wrigley Field. So this is opening day for me. I love opening day at Wrigley. I loved it as a kid. I loved it as a player. I love it as a broadcaster. So all you guys being here today is what it's all about. Wrigley Field has its own energy. And, you know, walking in today and seeing the ivy in the scoreboard, and you're like, all right, we're back home. Here we go.
Yeah. Coom, to come into this situation this year for the Cubs, to have been away from home, as you just said, for so long, do you think it's going to have a little extra juice in this one, especially coming off of the offensive performance, that display we saw in Sacramento?
Yeah, I do. When you have a series like they did against the A's, not Oakland, heaven forbid we say that, against the A's, there's no doubt. There's some guys that really are confident right now swinging the bat. And the other thing about this, too, that I really feel has some pop to it is, you know, one of your star players in Tucker, this is his first opening day at Wrigley. You know, we got some young guys that are going to experience their first opening day at Wrigley. And, you know, as soon as something good happens for the Cubs in this game, there's going to be an explosion energy. And I think that's something that has real meaning when you're playing here. And, by the way, it's 45 degrees outside and we got the Padres in town, so that's a bonus, too.
That is a quality opponent in the Padres. But it reminds me, Rod, of what we asked Crane Kenny about, too. Something that stuck with me when Jed Hoyer talked about Kyle Tucker. And he said, one of the biggest selling points I think that we have for Kyle, he's not going to get to experience for a while. And that's basically what happens today. Like, if he hits a home run today, if he gets to experience that Wrigley crowd as the home team, what that's going to mean to him and how he can finally take that in for what he can bring just by himself.
Well, you're right. There's no doubt. And when you look at playing here in this environment, in this ballpark, every major league player, there's certain ballparks you can't wait to get to play in, even as a visitor. Now he's putting on the blue pinstripes today and that uniform and all that. So there's going to be – it's something special. There's another thing, too, when you're a good team like the Cubs are, you're hoping to play in October, which the Cubs likely should if all health and everything stays. It's even better. And I think this Cubs team is in that – they're trending that way right now. They had a great series. You're supposed to win that series, and they did convincingly. And they're a very confident group, but – for Tuck, he's going to experience something unique. Houston is a great place, great ballpark. It's not Wrigley Field.
Kyle Tucker, it's early, Coom, but right now I'm looking at the screen.
Yeah.
He's leading baseball in WAR, wins above replacement, tied with him at .8. It's early. I told you it was early. Yep. It's Shota Imanaga. Yep. So what's interesting about Shota is just the level of comfort he showed from day one as a Cub, and you expect it to carry over into year two as it has so far. And he seems to feed off the energy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just as well as anybody we've ever seen take the hill in a Cubs uniform.
Shota's, you know, sometimes because of the language barrier a little bit, you don't get to see a guy's personality right away. He's big with personality.
Oh,
he's
Cubs convention, right?
He's not big in stature. He's big in personality. And he loves all of this. This is right in his wheelhouse, pitching at Wrigley Field and feeding off the fans' energy. Cubs have a few of those guys now. Pete Armstrong's another one. We were talking out on Molly and All earlier today. He's a guy that feeds off of that. But Shota, big time. And I love that whole idea. I think that's what, you know, playing in certain markets brings to the table. And that's what, you know, it's going to happen today. And I expect him to have a dominant performance even against a really good offense.
I think the thing about him that I really enjoy, too, isn't just what you guys said, but the function that happens afterward. If he's not happy with a big fly or if he's not happy with a home run, you'll see it. You'll see the relief on his face when he has a good catch from his outfield. You'll see the happiness if he gets out of a jam. I feel like Amaya is like that, too. We talked a little bit about how that partnership and that battery was so effective last season. I think for him to just be that person has helped him function in this space, especially here.
I don't think anybody expected what he brought to the table last year. I think you don't know. It's an unknown. He comes here and dominates. And his stuff plays in our game really well. That's another key. But he's a confident dude. And, you know, you just – I do. I just I like – speaking of personalities, we got one walking in right now.
Yeah, we do. There's a lot of –
one of my old hometown boys
yes,
right here.
Joliet and Lockport represent.
The last time Mark Grant and I were on a microphone together, we were taking money from people in Joliet at the Wish Upon a Star – fundraiser as auctioneers. So keep your hands on your wallets, guys. You have two Joliet people in the room. Yeah,
but two of the best in the business to me when it comes to broadcasts teaching. Like Mudd taught me so much when I worked with him in San Diego. You guys do a wonderful job of that, painting the picture like you do so well, Pat and you. What does that mean to you, knowing that you're bringing this home the way you have? I think Tokyo is a great example, just how you guys were able to bring so much, even from where you were.
I think for Mark and I both, it's our upbringing of where we grew up. It's a really good baseball area. We had to work very hard to get to the big leagues, stay in the big leagues, and keep doing what we're doing. And we also really love baseball. You know, when you listen to Mark's broadcast, and I do a lot because he's on the West Coast, driving home or something, you know he's having fun. If you've ever been around Mudd for 5 minutes, it's going to be fun. And that's the way it is. And I think where we grew up, you know, the baseball aspect of it was taught to us at a young age and the love of the game. And we try to bring that to our audience. And I think we do.
I know you didn't go on the trip to Japan. I didn't feel like Seiya Suzuki was maybe having as much fun as he wanted to. I think he was happy to be there.
Yeah.
They throw him parties. They're hanging out. He's obviously being adored by the Japanese faithful.
Right.
He started off poorly, but the way he's played the last few games, specifically in the Sacramento part of that road trip, looks like a guy that we actually expect him to be and that the Cubs need him to be, in that the power is now displaying itself in the plate coverage and everything else after, you know, striking out a lot to start the season.
Marshall, I would say there was one swing of the bat that kind of flipped everything over. He hit the big three-run homer off Severino, off the batter's eye in center field, long home run. Severino is really tough against right-handed hitters. He's got big sweeping breaking ball, good velocity. He's just very tough against righties. For Seiya to blast one like that in his first at-bat, the carryover effect on that is immense. So, and it did, and it showed right away. I mean, he started banging out hits. And confidence is one of those things, as we all know in sports, can really carry a guy for a long time. So it was great to see. Cubs, as you put it, really need him and Dansby and some of those guys in the middle hitting, you know, behind the top two to really have big offensive years. If they do, we'll be sitting here at Sluggers in October broadcasting again.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, yeah. Me neither.
And yeah. You know, you're a cleanup hitter too. I think his success is going to be a good indication, Michael Bush's, of the Cubs' success. Ron Coomer, nice enough to join us from Sluggers here in Wrigleyville. You can, of course, hear his call with Pat Hughes. Coverage starts at 12:45 right here on The Score. When we call, Coom answers.